South Dakota during the Battle of Guadalcanal, World War II. He received two campaign medals, a presidential citation, the Asiatic Medal, the Bronze Star, and the Purple Heart. Shortly thereafter, in February of 1943, Calvin Graham was sent home, but the young war hero was not to receive a hero's welcome. Arriving in Corpus Christi, he was instead tossed into the brig for 2 months, stripped of his medals, and then he was thrown out of the Navy. No, not even discharged, neither honorably nor dishonorably. He was simply expelled, his honors and his service record summarily erased. It was as though Calvin Graham had never served in the war at all. But this is the rest of the story. There'd been anxious talk in Cal's Texas hometown that the United States was losing the war. The young man could not tolerate that, and so early in the summer of 42, he got in the long line in front of the local recruitment office and enlisted in the Navy. Cal was assigned to the USS South Dakota, the only United States battleship in the Pacific Theater at that time. The ship's primary function was to serve as a decoy, to make Japanese observers think that we had several battleships in the area. Chameleon-like, the South Dakota would alter her identifying numbers as she sailed, hoping to be reported as a different vessel each time she was sighted. Then early in August came the battle for Guadalcanal, and the South Dakota was there. Her guns blasted more than 30 Japanese planes out of the sky. Cal Graham's fantail gun claimed 7 of those. During the battle, the South Dakota lost her radar, soon found herself dangerously close to a Japanese battleship. The American vessel drew heavy fire, which left many wounded and dead in her superstructure. Cal Graham was one of the handful who volunteered to evacuate the casualties. Within 1 2-minute period, while Cal was up there, the South Dakota took 48 hits above her main deck. Cal received burns and a gun concussion so ferocious that he lost his teeth. But when the smoke had cleared, Cal emerged a hero. You already know of the honors he was awarded. 2 campaign medals, a presidential citation, the Asiatic Medal, the Bronze Star, the Purple Heart. You've also learned that he was stripped of these honors and imprisoned and eventually dismissed from the Navy. And the reason was that he'd been too eager to serve his country. For when Cal joined up, he was too young. And thus was his illegal enlistment canceled and his record of service wiped away until today. Calvin Graham, with these words, may become the hero who never was. A young man who convinced a naval recruiter that he was old enough to fight and fought and was decorated and was denied. All within 1 year, the most exciting year of Cal's life. When he was 12. Now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. This hour's guest is Alexandra Morris. She's a gerontologist. She's been working really hard with a whole bunch of folks on the California San Luis Obispo County Master Plan on Aging. So we're going to learn about that. We're going to talk about the role of geriatric care management in aging and long-term care in the long-term care planning process, and then tips and indicators to watch for when we see aging loved ones during the holidays. Alexandra, welcome back to Protecting What Matters.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Good. Thanks for coming back in again to cover these top important topics. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So we do want to start with the master plan on aging, but first, tell us our audience a bit about your background. How long have you been a gerontologist, and what got you interested in the field?
So I'll start with what got me started. It was my grandmother. She died back in the late 80s. She had a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. I saw how hard it was on her. Back then, we had no services. There was nursing homes. That's all there was. I saw how hard it was on her, and she was generally good and kind throughout the whole process. I know not everyone can say that. My father, my uncles, my aunt, all kind of teamed. They were a collaborative group, and they worked together to take care of her for the rest of her life. So I changed my major in college. I wanted to be an anthropologist. So the classes were similar, right? Anything with ology at the end of it, you know, it was similar.
You get to deal with old bones.
Yeah, I guess so, right? I was at a function the other day, and they asked what icebreaker, what was your first job? And mine, I was a lifeguard back in high school and in the beginning of college. And someone turned to me and said, "You still are." So, yeah.
That's interesting, you know, that you mentioned, you know, you brought back a memory for me, because how I got involved in long-term care insurance back in the 80s was I was living in Colorado, and you're right, the only thing that we had were nursing homes. And I had a client who owned a chains of nursing homes, and a chain of nursing homes. And their model was to buy nursing homes that were outside of Denver. So they were really rural. And when you'd go out to these rural towns like Canyon City or Lyman, Colorado, what would happen is those nursing homes were like the center of town, because you know all the farmers and the ranchers would bring grandma or grandpa in their last days to live, and then but it was part of the community, and it's so much different than in many cases today, you know. And I probably spent more cumulative time in a nursing home than many of the residents, because I'd go out to these facilities and enroll the employees in their employee benefit plans. And you really see a different side of life when you're hanging out in a skilled nursing facility.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so tell us a little bit about, you know, what is the state of California and San Luis Obispo County doing with this master plan on aging? Why don't you give us some background on that?
Sure. So the Master Plan on Aging is a statewide plan developed by the governor's office to address the needs of our aging population, as well as disabled populations across the state. The focus is on intentional services, engagement, and government funds for local programs. The state plan has five bold goals: housing, health reimagined, inclusion and equity, not isolation, caregiving that works, and affordable aging. And there's a lot of information. I'm just going to give the website, if I may.
Yeah, please.
It's mpa.aging.ca.gov.
So there's actually a great PDF that they have on their website. And I mean, I even learned a lot here. I mean, 25% of the California population, over 10 million people, are over age 60. And that's huge, and it's going to get larger.
For sure.
I don't know what the projections are on that. I guess so. I know this is a collaborative effort. So basically, the state of California, I mean, I guess Governor Newsom did this a few years ago, Executive Order N-1419. When did he sign that into law?
I believe it was 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago? Okay. And then of course everything rolls down to the county.
Correct.
Right. So you made a presentation, I think it was in October, to the Board of Supervisors. You're on the committee. Tell us about the committee.
Well, I am on the committee, but it wasn't me who made that presentation.
Well, I bet you were there, probably.
So all 58 counties in California were invited to apply for a grant to begin the needs assessment process for their individual counties.
Okay.
And SLO County applied through the county offices, and we were awarded a grant. Okay. In order to hire consultants to help us strategize and reach out to not just other professionals like myself, other government agencies, other nonprofits, etc., but to the people who actually live here and who are experiencing, well, getting older, or taking care of folks who are getting older.
So who's all involved? Who are the consultants? Who are the other I hate this term because I spend too much time in Sacramento. Who are the other stakeholders, as it were, in the program?
I can only tell you the local ones.
Okay, well, that's what I want. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, so our group, well, can I back up to just the advisory committee?
Sure.
Because I like the history here.
Okay.
So I was at a chamber function, and we had to take, it was off-site, and there was a shuttle bus. So I was on the shuttle bus on the way back after this function with Jimmy Paulding, who's our supervisor, county supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And he leaned over and said, okay, I know you're a gerontologist. What do we need in this county? Which I found remarkable. Okay, so I told him. He was stuck in that car, that van with me for 20 minutes. And I spoke for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And he seemed incredibly interested. So interested that he convened a small group of us, people that he knew that did this kind of work, to explore what the needs for SLO County seniors and those with disabilities. So under the leadership of patient advocate Linda Beck, who's fantastic, by the way, we each brought to the discussion.
So she's she's an independent patient advocate?
She is.
Okay, all
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm. She does a lot of things, but yes.
Yeah.
So each of us brought to the discussion our respective areas of expertise. For example, housing, healthcare, advocacy, care management, and adult daycare programs.
So why don't you unpack each of those?
Sure.
What are they? Because I know what they are, but maybe listeners don't know what they are.
So when we say housing, we're almost always talking about affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Healthcare, we had some retired individuals who worked in the healthcare industry for many years who informed our discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Advocacy was myself and Linda Beck. Care management that's my perspective,
mm-hmm.
What is needed in order to facilitate the best possible lives of the folks that we advocate for, represent.
Mm-hmm.
And then adult daycare programs, which I personally feel very passionate about, which I'll talk more about in a few minutes.
We need another one. We need one in South County.
We sure do.
Because I know Mara's been on the show several times, and she's doing, yeoman's work over there at the Paso Adult Daycare Center.
She sure is.
So let me start with one, unless you had something you wanted to cover. I want to start with one of the thorniest issues, mm-hmm. with this whole thing. Affordable housing. John Pichong, I can tell you don't want to answer this question. John Pichong was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we actually got one call. The woman was, I don't want to say hysterical, but she was very upset. That, she's getting priced out of her place to live. And then, and we got a second one, and they were both the first one was very impassioned. I don't know which one of these buttons on the control panel are bleep buttons, but I probably should have bleeped a few things. But anyway, the point being is that this has got to be, and I know CAPSLO is heavily involved with this, especially when it comes to veterans. How do we create, what are the solutions that you're talking about, or if maybe you haven't gotten to that point yet, about how we're going to get affordable housing specifically for the elderly in this county?
That's an excellent question, and I will just say I don't think I'm qualified to answer mm-hmm. that. My pieces as part of this group, mm-hmm. this advisory committee, was more around healthy aging, reducing isolation, care management, and the adult daycare program.
Mm-hmm.
We have other experts who can speak much better than I can about how to address the housing crisis.
I would like to get them on the show.
Let's talk.
Yeah, because again, I mean, this is the key element here for people, is the affordable housing thing. So, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's fine. Okay, so the advisory committee, so we got together, and Linda Beck, again, who really spearheaded this group, we created a white paper that was drafted and published. It's called High Value Opportunities for Improving the Lives of SLO County's Older Adults. Then, when we found out about the grant that the county had been awarded for the local Master Plan on Aging, we pivoted a little bit, not a lot, and focused our energies on that. And from then, the group grew exponentially. So we now have local government, healthcare systems, nonprofits, local advocates, and local advocates and stakeholders and businesses represented. For example, these are just a few: the Alzheimer's Association, Hospice of Slow County, Meals That Connect, Dignity Health, CAPSLO, and Geriatric Care Management. So I can't even tell you how many people were on the last call, maybe 30, representing different organizations throughout the county.
So as I look at what the PowerPoint, part of the PowerPoint that you sent, the presentation to the Board of Supervisors, the first thing, so you've kind of got the engage the community thing checked off the box. That's what you're doing right now.
Correct.
And then again, the priorities are what you discussed, I'm guessing, the five pillars. But where are you at in that process?
So the strategic guide is slated to be completed by March from the consultants.
Okay.
But at that point, we will have a guide. Mm-hmm. At that point, if not before, we need to identify one or more lead agencies who can take leadership in these pillars.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth pillar, so I just want to review quickly. Housing, which you talked about, healthcare, emotional well-being as opposed to isolation and caregiving. And then overarching above all of those things, we're calling resource navigation, because what we keep hearing over and over from these surveys that were done and from the town hall meetings is when people need services, they don't know where to go or what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then so from all that, then you're going to develop the master plan on aging.
The guide will be developed by March, we're told.
Mm-hmm.
We will have something in our hands that can be disseminated. And then, again, we need to identify who's going to pick this up and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we were prepping for this show last week, you asked me about resources.
Right.
Okay, I got an answer for you.
Resources meaning money.
Meaning grants.
Okay.
Yeah, money.
Money.
That's right.
Right.
So I asked the expert. So, in a perfect world, there will be grants to help our county implement the strategic guide. I personally cannot predict how much or anything, or if there's any funding that will be available. That is for the state to determine.
Yeah.
However, I asked Robert Diaz, who's the program manager with the county, very bright guy, very well informed, I believe has been on your show, who has done a lot of work on our local master plan on aging, about this question.
Mm-hmm.
And here's his answer, and I quote, "It does not need funding to exist or evolve. It is a collaborative change in practice that we hope the community, both in the public and private sector, will adopt and strengthen their ability to serve. It will be up to SLO MPA advisory community to keep this effort alive and moving forward. It will require intentional allocation of resources, such as staff time and knowledge, to take part continuing discussions around this topic."
So it's basically going to be something that individuals and advocates are going to have to continue to promote.
Correct.
You know, and keep going.
Yes, if there is no money with the new state budget.
Yeah, which is probably highly likely. Highly likely.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
But I would like before.
No.
If
please,
I may.
Yeah.
Having said all of that, there are two examples of how folks that are engaged in this advisory committee, Master Plan on Aging, have already started putting things into place.
Okay.
So the first one is in our county, as you said, we have a fantastic adult daycare program, PASO, led by CAPSLO, which is the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo. In the past, there were other adult day programs, but they no longer exist. Laura Deloy of the Alzheimer's Association recently, and she's part of the advisory committee, has convened stakeholders to discuss starting another adult day program. CAPSLO and Cal Poly are involved, among others, in this effort.
Well, that's good.
That's great.
Yeah, it is good. Well, Laura's been on the show many times.
She's great.
Yeah, she is.
Can I?
Yeah.
Okay. And then another example of how this advisory committee is getting things moving without any money. Rod Brown and I spearheaded a senior fair last month in Aurora Grande. The South County has not had a senior fair in years, and we felt strongly that resource information needs to be made more available. So this goes back to the need for information, which we call care navigation, which also loops back around to the advisory committee.
Yeah. So really, again, I mean, I see where you're going with this, because I think when people are in distress, which we're going to talk about on the other side of the break, they don't know where to turn, you know, and just knowing that they can get some services or get some assistance or even just somebody to talk to is a big plus for them. Correct?
Agreed.
Yeah. So real quickly, we got a couple more minutes, I believe, before the break. Part of what you guys did, you did some survey work. The Slo County caregivers and other adults to support what your work doing. What were some of the big findings from your perspective on from those two surveys?
Well, that's where the pillars came from. Mm-hmm. None of us who have been doing this work for a while were surprised mm-hmm. by those pillars.
Right.
Care navigation, I was pleased to see that was an overarching idea that applied to all of the pillars. Some folks told us that they felt that they have been surveyed before and nothing ever happened with those surveys. Mm-hmm. No action was taken. Mm-hmm. So they were hesitant to go through the process again. We heard this a few times, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that, I mean, I think the advantage you have now, I mean, it seems to me every day some new senior service company pops up. You know, it's become a cottage industry. And it's not even a cottage industry anymore. It's big business, because all these aging boomers are out there and they need the services. So, and somebody in a capitalist society like we have, it expands out to where people will create a business around it.
That's correct.
So ultimately, I mean, from my perspective, and this will sound hard-hearted, I'd like to see the government stay out of this as much as possible and let people develop the services, you know, based on, you know, what is really needed for people, as opposed to some big top-down service. But yeah, we can talk about that some more if we have some time. But I think this is a great start for San Luis Obispo County. Thank you for all your hard work.
Oh,
when we return, we'll turn our discussion to the work of gerontologists and geriatric care managers and how they can assist in the aging process. So stand by. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Prosecutors are moving to bring the suspect in the killing of a United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, back to New York to face a murder charge following last week's fatal shooting in Midtown Manhattan. Luigi Mangione was denied bail after yesterday's arrest in Pennsylvania.
New York City has issued a warrant for Mangione's arrest for murdering Thompson, as well as for four other charges, including the criminal possession of a weapon and criminal possession of a forged instrument.
Fox's Brian Yenis. President Biden praising his economic record and efforts to combat rising prices.
The entire world faced a spike in inflation due to disruptions from the pandemic and Putin's war in Ukraine. We acted quickly to get inflation down.
Now, speaking there at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. today, America is listening to Fox News.
Love shopping for fresh foods and local products that are good for you and the planet? Become a member owner of the soon-to-open Paso Food Co-op. Each membership brings the co-op one step closer to opening its doors. A food co-op is like shopping at a farmer's market every day, offering a unique shopping experience for the whole community. Support your local farmers, food purveyors, and artisans by joining the Paso Food Co-op. Learn more and join today at pasofoodcooperative.com.
Are you ready to elevate your golf game and experience the beauty of San Luis Obispo County? Introducing the 2025 SLO County Golf Cart. It's your ticket to an unforgettable golfing season. For just $125, enjoy unlimited access to not one, not two, but three incredible courses: Morro Bay, Chalk Mountain, and Dairy Creek. But there's more. When you buy your SLO County Golf Card, you receive a free round of golf at Morro Bay, one free round at Chalk Mountain, a free round at Dairy Creek, and even a free hour at Swing Time. You also celebrate your special day with a free round of golf on your birthday. Take advantage of the special rate of $15 for a round of golf through March 29th of next year. Ready to swing into action? Then purchase your 2025 SLO County Golf Card at any of the pro shops or online at slocountygolf.com.
Prices go up January 1st, 2025.
We're back with gerontologist and Alexandra Morris. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So now we're going to talk about what a geriatric care manager does. And I'm going to, Alexandra has much of the material that, you know, you're going to be hearing now, she has a great FAQ on her website. So if you would like a copy of this, I'd be happy to email it to you at info@blazenbear.com. That's B-L-A-Z-E, the letter N, bear.com. Or you can call the office at 805-635-7200. Okay, so let's give us the big picture, Alexandra. What is geriatric care management?
Geriatric care management, individuals like myself typically do an assessment and care plan, looking at a person's whole situation, not just the reason why they called us. And then we help coach, assist, help individuals get through the inevitable challenges that come with aging. I go to doctor's appointments. I'll tell you a quick story. I have many stories, but I'll tell you a quick one. Lived in assisted living. By the way, geriatric care management is still valuable even when a person lives in assisted living. I have several clients in assisted living right now. One gal with dementia, she could be a little feisty. She loved Judge Judy, and her television just went out. And the facility called me about noon. I guess Judge Judy comes on at 3 or 4 or something. And they call me at noon. They're like, please, Alex, it's an emergency. Mm-hmm. Can you go get her a TV and set it up in her room? So my husband and I went to Costco. We bought her a TV. He set it up. She never knew the difference. She came into her room. Judge Judy was there. And all was right with the world.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. So basically, one of the things I noticed in your material here, I mean, you consider really the family your client, not so much the patient. Explain that a little bit.
Sure. So typically those who hire me are the adult children. Mm-hmm. Actually, almost always. It's either fiduciary, which is a professional individual who does this when there is no family, or the adult children. So yes, they are my client, but the senior, the older adult, is also my client. Mm-hmm. Because I am acting, despite who pays me, I am acting in the best interest of the older adult.
Okay. You're a member of, an organization called Aging Life Care.
That's right.
Is that your national association?
That's our national association.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And they have a great website, folks, by the way. Let me ask you a question. So what's the difference between gerontology versus geriatrics?
So gerontology is the social aspects of aging. Geriatrics is medically based.
Okay. So it's kind of like the difference between psychology and psychiatry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. And there are three types. I was on somebody's website this morning. There's biological, social, and environmental gerontology. Can you unpack those?
Sure. So as a broad gerontologist, I look at all of those things when I'm doing my assessment and care plans for folks. I'm looking at their health status. I'm not a medical professional, mm-hmm. but I know how to read and I know how to talk to doctors. Mm-hmm. So I look at, certainly a lot of folks who come to me have Parkinson's, dementia, COPD, arthritis, you name it, right? stuff happens as we start getting older. They're suffering from falls, etc. So that's the biological piece. The social piece is what we all need. What sorts of connection does this person desire and would benefit from? And that's just a real quick, simple answer.
Okay.
I mean, it's very involved. And environmental is, where is this person living? A little bit about their background. How have they lived? Have they experienced some sort of trauma or poverty in their lives, which has affected their overall well-being, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I look at where they live now, maybe where they've lived fairly recently in the past 10 or 20 years ago, and how they got to where they are now, and then projecting out what's probably likely going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years.
Hmm. Okay. And you work primarily with San Luis Obispo County and Santa Barbara? County?
Yeah, northern Santa Barbara County.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I what do you, and again, I'm asking this question for a reason. I work with a geriatric care manager. She's set up a company where she does everything remote, because you know, she's working with people all over the country. So, I mean, but there's got to be a difference between having eyeballs on the patient versus.
Agreed.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, but sometimes you can't help it. I mean, you know, the children live here in California and mom's in New Jersey. You know, so you need to be able to do it maybe on a remote basis.
So there's all sorts of different models, mm-hmm. as you have discovered. Mm-hmm. Mine is I prefer to work with folks where I can interact with them. I can see you. I can hear you. I'm in the room with you. I'm in the doctor's office with you. I'm there to support you. I want you to feel supported. That is my model. Now, having said that, I have... because I'm from the Bay Area originally, I still have former clients. I'm still known there. So I have a few folks that I do coaching with.
Okay.
So I, especially around dementia, because that's my area of expertise.
Okay. Yeah. So if somebody was looking for a geriatric care manager out of the area, you know, what kind of credentials should they have? What kind of groups should they belong to? What kind of questions should they ask?
Well, I definitely would like them to belong to our national association.
Okay.
Yeah, and that can be found at caremanager.org. So that's a big one.
Okay.
A master's degree is preferable in a related field. Mine's in gerontology. There are certainly nurses, social workers, and other in the helping profession who have master's degrees. Therapy, of course, therapists. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we look at, to be a member of our association, you have to have so many years of experience, supervised experience, under your belt before you can even apply to our national association. Mm-hmm. So I can say with some confidence that if you reach out to our national association to find a geriatric care manager, you're going to find somebody who's very experienced and knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm. So generally speaking, you get a call from somebody and they're in crisis.
That happens a lot.
What's the first thing? What are the steps? You know, just give us kind of the high level steps of, I got mom. Yeah, we're gonna talk about this. You know, I just saw mom for the first time over Christmas and she's not doing well. What do I do?
Yep, I just got a call like that recently.
Okay. So after you talk them off the ledge, how do you talk them off the ledge? And then
I just ask questions and I listen.
Yeah,
and I want to know, how old is mom? Where does she live? What are the circumstances? You know, all of those mm-hmm. those details that inform what I can do. And I will say that there's only 3 geriatric care managers through our national association that work in this county that are actively taking new clients.
Hmm.
Sometimes our caseloads are full.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, and as you might imagine, a crisis situation is labor intensive up front.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so far, I have never turned anybody away, but there's certainly potential for that. I beg people not to wait until things are really bad before they reach out, but, you know, things happen, right?
Right.
Circumstances happen, especially if there's a sudden illness or injury, you know, you can't really help that.
Yep.
So I talk them off the ledge. Yes, thank you for that. And then I tell them how I can help them. Mm-hmm. I send them the information that I sent to you, the frequently asked questions, my credentials, how my business works. I tell them, talk to the other stakeholders, whoever else is involved in all of this, mm-hmm. and get back to me and let me know if you want to hire me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the things that you do that comes into direct contact with long-term care insurance is, which is one of the things that I do, is plans of care, doing a plan of care for an insurance company potentially. Okay, explain what a plan of care is, because almost every long-term care insurance policy that's enforced today requires a plan of care. So what does that look like, and explain that.
Thank you for that question. I should pay you for that. So part of what I do from the get-go, the assessment and care plan, is a usually 10 or more pages professional report that will pass muster with any insurance company and even the court. I've written many statements for the court. Mm-hmm. So it's a very detailed and involved assessment and care plan. And then the family and I, or the fiduciary and I, talk about what should we do now? Let's set our priorities. Sometimes, especially if we have someone who's resistant or not on board, let's find something that they value. It's usually transportation, but mm-hmm. not always. Let's find something that they value and then provide that. And then when they see value and they see that I'm actually kind of a nice person and easy to work with, that they're willing to, you know, to make some other subtle changes. Mm-hmm. Slow and sure wins the race.
Yeah. So, but when it comes into play with a long-term care insurance mm-hmm. policy, okay, the insurance company obviously wants an assessment on the patient, on the insured in this case, and they want to know what services are required.
Yes.
And who's going to provide those services, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that then the claim would get approved by the insurance company in theory. Okay, yes, we'll pay for the expenses incurred for these services up to the limits of the policy. That's how that
correct.
Works. And then each month the bills are submitted. And then generally I'm thinking that, you know, you have to go back out every 6 months or so to redo the plan of care and the assessment, right? To see if any more services are required.
So
right?
I'll tell you my personal experience. Mm-hmm. I have done this when an insurance company has sent someone out, not me, mm-hmm. their people, mm-hmm. to do an assessment, and the family did not agree.
Right.
So it's, you know, you
That's
know
where
this.
I wanted you to go.
Okay, I hear I'm going. So activities of daily living. Mm-hmm. That's what it's really all
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
How can the person bathe, groom, mm-hmm. transfer, etc.
Yep.
And what I do is I put together, again, a very detailed professional report and my 30 years of experience doing this kind
right.
of work. Yeah. And we have one. Now, I'm not going to say it happens a lot. I've been called in maybe 10, 15 times over the years to do what I just described. Mm-hmm. And we win because it's very detailed.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that again, so where I wanted to go for the audience is, if you do have a long-term care insurance policy and you don't like the results of the assessment and plan of care from the insurance company's contractor for that service, then you have a right to go get your own.
Correct.
And that's really important. So, okay, how do you get paid for your services?
It's private pay almost exclusively.
Okay.
Now, there are some long-term care insurance policies that pay for what I do in a limited way.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly take advantage of that when folks do have the policy. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it is private pay.
And obviously, what was I going to ask you? I guess, and Medicaid, of course, Medi-Cal doesn't really pay for this service either, right?
No.
So
when you're on Medi-Cal, which is what we call it in California, mm-hmm. you are assigned through Medi-Cal a social worker,
okay.
and you're expected to work with that individual. And these people are great,
mm-hmm.
okay? And mm-hmm. they have dozens and dozens and dozens of cases. Mm-hmm. They can't possibly do what I do. However, if you're truly on Medi-Cal and you have limited resources, you probably can't afford someone like me. Sometimes family pays for me to do an assessment and care plan or make a specific thing happen. Like I helped a gentleman move from our county because it was too expensive to Bakersfield. Okay, they paid me to do just that, and that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. So This has been happening more. I had a question. I forgot what it was. I needed assessment.
Welcome.
Anyway, and the Veterans Administration has their own service too.
Correct.
Okay. So basically, and I know in talking to Laura, a lot of people use the Alzheimer's Association to at least get some help and some guidance into which way they should be going as well. So there are, again, lots of resources, but of course the Master Plan on Aging is trying to put that all in one place, correct?
So to make it cohesive.
People can get to it. Okay. Talk a little bit about, everybody's always hearing about placement services,
mm-hmm.
okay, like a place for mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how is what you do different? How do they get paid?
Sure.
Because this is something that I want people to understand as well.
So placement folks this is my bias. We have local excellent placement folks. Mm-hmm. So if all the family is looking for, like, you know, mom's in rehab or whatever, mom needs to move, mom's agreeable. If they're not one of my existing clients, I refer them out to placement folks. They get paid through the facility Correct. In which the person goes to move, mm-hmm. and they have to stay, I think it's 60 or 90 days or something like that. So they're a valuable service, especially when money is tight, mm-hmm. because families don't pay them directly. Mm-hmm. The facilities pay them directly.
Right.
I, as a geriatric care manager, I'm precluded. It's part of our ethical standards. If you are my client, I cannot take money from a facility for referring.
Right. Yeah. Right. So what does the process look like when people want to hire you?
Well,
they call with a crisis.
They reach out. That's right. That's right. I answer all their questions okay. to the best of my ability. I send them my materials. They talk to other stakeholders if appropriate, and they decide.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we start again. Most of the time, crisis is a little different because I'm not going to plug around doing an assessment and care plan and take 2 weeks to do that if someone's being discharged from the hospital any day now, right? Mm-hmm. So crisis is more a jump in, learn everything I can very quickly, obviously meet my elder client,
mm-hmm.
And get a sense of them and where they're at with their physical health, their mental health, etc. Look at, again, as quickly as I can, and then help the families figure out where is a good setting. If not home, where is a good setting for that person to be, whether it's on a respite temporary basis or maybe more permanently.
And I love one of the things in your FAQ about you're not into family drama. you're not there to mediate between siblings about what kind of care, Bob.
Well, yes and no. I don't. What I tell them is I don't do decades of dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is sit around a table and say, you know, brother, sister, this is where we're at mm-hmm. with mom. We're not going to talk about what happened 20 years ago. We're going to talk about what's going on right now mm-hmm. and how I can coach you through this process. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. You don't need to follow my advice. You should, but you don't need to. And let's figure this out. And I don't let them, I let people state their goals. I let them state their concerns, but I do not, I have a strong hand with that. No infighting, not in front of me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what do you charge for typically for a care plan? An assessment?
For the whole thing, mm-hmm. I charge $1,000.
Mm-hmm. And then your ongoing service cost?
Ongoing is $100 an hour.
Okay.
And I charge $50 an hour for travel.
And is there a minimum number of hours per month or quarter?
One a month.
Okay. And this was another good thing. You do not provide any legal or financial services.
I do not.
Okay. Well, I want folks to understand what they're getting into if they give you a call. So.
I point folks in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you're not, you mentioned here, you provide counseling to families.
Coaching is the word I use.
Okay, so what's the difference between coaching and counseling? You just kind of explained it, but
I don't want to call any misleading. I don't want people to think I'm a therapist.
You're not. Marriage and family.
I have a lot of training
mm-hmm.
and a lot of experience, including mediation mm-hmm. training from Wilshire, but I am not a counselor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the last, did we miss anything here? Well, I hear the music, so I, you know, we can take it out of the other side of the hour. So if we missed anything, I want to make sure that on what you do and how you do it. We can talk about it on the other side of the break, and then holiday tips. Okay.
That's what I want to talk
about. All right. Okay, we'll be back, folks, in about 3 minutes, so stand by.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks ending lower as investors focus on the last wave of inflation data of the year. The Consumer Price Index report will be released on Wednesday morning. The reading will be among the final big pieces of data that the Fed will receive before its meeting on interest rates next week. Tech was the worst performing sector while consumer staples gained. And Oracle stock fell more than 7% for their steepest daily loss of the year after the software maker's second quarter revenue grew less than Wall Street was expecting, hit by stiff competition among cloud services providers. The Dow winners, American Express, Boeing, and United Health Group. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Caterpillar. The Dow falling 154 points, the Nasdaq lower by 49, S&P 500 down 18. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Pilar Rybarski, invested in you.
Trump's victory doesn't mean our financial worries are over. Hi, Dr. Ron Paul here. Washington's spending addiction still threatens your savings. That's why I recommend gold IRAs from my friends at Birch Gold Group. These accounts protect your retirement from government mismanagement. For a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word SHELTER to 989898. Don't wait. Text SHELTER to the number 989898 now for your free kit from Birch Gold.
Message and data rates may apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Listen to the actual Yelp review by Paso Robles Glass from our happy customer. I had a tough time deciding whether it was worth the money to replace my single-pane aluminum windows with new efficient ones. Only so much money and multiple things that could be updated in my house. Brandon and Steven just left my house after spending 2 days putting in all the new Milgard Trinzic windows. Best money I have ever spent. I never imagined new windows could change the look of a house so much. The best part was all the time that Brandon and Steven took showing pride in their work, making sure I was taken care of as their customer. The customer service they provided made every dollar I spent worth it. I would recommend Paso Robles Glass and their staff to anyone looking to get glass work done. Too bad more companies don't operate and care about their customers like Paso Robles Glass does. A really refreshing experience. Signed by our customer, Eric R.
Paso Robles Glass, the Milgard replacement window masters. Call for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. 805-238-4014.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Alexandra Morris, gerontologist. Next week's show will be the last Protecting What Matters of 2024 due to the fact that Christmas and New Year's Eve is falling on a Tuesday, on the Tuesdays. So you'll have 2 weeks of bearlessness to have to suffer through. All right, next week we will feature Henry Rogers, our friend from the Daily Caller, the national political correspondent. He's had about a month or more now to digest the election results and what's happened and where the country's going. And he's always got some great insights. And then the from 1 o'clock to two, I'm going to have my multi-generational compadres come on, my millennials and Gen Xers. And we're going to talk about current events and see what they're thinking now that the election is over and we have a whole new government. So I love those guys. They're Jay, Kalen, and Jay, Jake. So I'm looking forward to that. Call in with questions or comments to Alexandra, 805-238-5775. So Alexandra, what should people be looking for in their aging loved ones as they see them maybe the first time in a year or 6 months? What are they looking for?
So the key is you're looking for changes. So if mom hasn't always been so great about paying the bills and the mail's all over the place, that doesn't mean now that there's a crisis brewing. So we want to look for changes. So bills not being paid, the mail, especially when you're noticing things like the junk mail, like the person's even having trouble sorting through the and getting rid of the junk mail and prioritizing the bills and the
that's my
the other
favorite
issues.
One of my favorite joys is throwing
is to
away
get rid of it.
Throwing it away before it even goes anywhere, gets near the house.
So if the house is in disrepair, again, we're talking about changes. Mm-hmm. The car banged up, mm-hmm. or the garage door banged up, or the front of the house near the garage door banged up. Mm-hmm. As if the person, of course, is still driving. Driving's huge, and we could do a whole nother show on that. consider medication compliance. So I was in recently with a client, and he presents very well. He is doing very well. And when I saw his pill dispenser, it was Tuesday, and how the prior few days were not used, but the days in advance of that had been used. I had to call the daughter right away. I was very concerned about him, his medication compliance. Grooming, changes in grooming. I have a client who is starting to become, unfortunately, this is really heartbreaking, but when someone becomes more incontinent, mm-hmm. you know, the son went to visit and the sheets were stained, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It was really hard. What I'd like to talk about, I know is when an individual is experiencing brain changes, so obvious cognitive decline or a dementia diagnosis, I'd like to talk for just a couple of minutes about how we need to adjust our expectations about the holidays and actually all the time, but mm-hmm. especially during the holidays. So I want folks to think about the smaller gatherings. Big gatherings can be really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. 15, 20, 30 people in the room, all, you know, kids running around, all the noise. It can be incredibly challenging for that person. And it's ultimately all about them, not about you. Mm-hmm. It's about them. So smaller gatherings, shorter perhaps in duration. So maybe an hour, maybe time for them to go into a quiet area and kind of relax and then come back out. The time of day, mm-hmm. usually earlier in the day, is much better than an evening gathering. The location, family had a place where they wanted to travel to. They went every year forever and ever and ever. It was a travel mountain road, etc. And this year it just didn't cut it. This person got so disoriented and confused that they had to turn right, forget this wonderful restaurant. They turned right around and came back because they wouldn't change the location to a place that was in town that was easy to get to. And lastly, be ready to leave. So if I'm the person, if I'm the escort, if you will, I'm taking my mom to this gathering. If mom starts to look agitated, more confused, more disoriented, that's it. We're gone. Mm-hmm. We'll say politely goodbye to everybody, and we'll leave, and we'll just figure out another way to engage with family.
Do you ever have a situation? How is the best way for the kids to introduce you into the picture with mom and dad?
Thank you for asking that. The truth, I'm a gerontologist. I help people get through the inevitable challenges that happen with aging, and I just want to get to know you and your values. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Do you ever have mom or dad say, no, get out of here?
To hell with you, yeah. Yes. Oh, sorry, I swore, but yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Just recently, as a matter of fact, I was in her home. I was trying to be polite, ask gentle questions, try to elicit her story, because people like to talk about themselves a lot, not mm-hmm. all the time. And she just wasn't having it. And she just stood up and announced that I was leaving. So I know better. I left. And in that situation, I'm coaching the two adult children. She won't let me in the door. And that happens.
What about when you see mom or dad? What about you observe weight loss, alcohol?
That's a big one.
You know?
Yeah. If you're seeing physical changes, how the person moves around in their environment, certainly weight loss or even gain, but weight loss is much more common. And if alcohol is a thing, especially as most seniors take 8 or more medications.
Okay.
So
Well, Alexandra, thank you so much for coming in. That was really great tips and help for the audience. And we will I want to talk to you about, because you mentioned something early on, something we're going to talk about more next year, is healthy aging and eating properly and getting the right diet as we get older and exercise.
I'd love to do that.
And all that kind of stuff. So, all right, folks, listen, I'll be back next week with Henry Rogers, Jay, Kalen, and Jake. It'll be a great show. Have a great rest of the week.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.